And we're back.
We're another episode of Black and a Half.
Episode number 48.
Number 48? We're old.
Yeah, we're almost to 50.
Unlike Silas.
I'm like Manny Martin.
No, I mean, I'm not almost 50.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what you did there. Ah.
But I am Silas Lindenstein.
And I'm Manny Martin.
And we are the team of Black and a Half.
Yes.
Since 2012.
2012, don't be mistaken.
Yeah, we've been here a long time.
Long time.
And if you searched our name and our podcast, you would have found us. So
shots
that's
fired.
Just what I'm saying. But welcome. Hey, we have another great episode here. Our guest today, life coach, Chris Zapata.
Extraordinaire. The one, the only. More than just a life coach. More like a
motivational speaker.
Motivational speaker, comic.
He's a stand-up comic. That's how we know him.
Yeah.
We know a lot of guests because of stand-up comedy. Everyone else we have to get referred to.
But this is a great episode. We talk about everything from the legendary Keanu Reeves and how great of an actor he is.
Yeah, we talk about, I saw the Terminator 2 recently.
In theater. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And
they argue with me and they're incorrect about The Last Jedi.
such a bad movie.
My God. The Purge TV show's coming up. We talk about our favorite genres of
films.
In this. We've been talking about films a lot
stuff.
Lately.
We talk about aliens.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah.
Those we talking about films a lot lately.
We have been, but it's because you're an award-winning director.
I am an award-winning director.
And I was in an award-winning
An award-winning film. So
why wouldn't we talk
about it? Guess that's why. Yeah, yeah. The award-winning film is The Last Piece, available on YouTube. you can watch that for free.
For free.
Not even on the red one.
And if you know what?
It's so good, we said, we can't charge for this.
We can't. We just need
to put
this out.
It up for the masses to be able to catch it.
And I feel like you need to start signing memorabilia to that stuff. Like if you want to sign a puzzle from Silas.
Oh fuck. No.
No, I mean you have to put together the puzzle.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll spray paint it another and then he'll sign it.
Damn puzzle.
Yeah, we're not putting together puzzles for you. Unless it's like a child's puzzle with like 50 pieces and then maybe. But that's gonna we might charge for that. Just
watch the movie and then I'll discuss with you about. I need to do director's cut.
You really should.
Director's commentary on it.
That would be great.
Where every time I'm going, I didn't know how long it would take to make this freaking puzzle. God damn it! Nobody mentioned that.
This was a hard scene because I noticed it was my living room over
and over again. Today's episode is brought to you by hoarding. Because don't let people throw out your shit.
You might still want to use batteries from the 80s. They don't know.
What if I need it, Manny?
I mean, you always say you need it. Okay.
I only need two screwdrivers?
Okay, here's the thing.
I may need six.
Here's the thing. I don't know how many countless things of tape you had from the, 90s. But
tape?
Yeah, there was packaging tape.
Content? Oh yeah.
From the 90s that probably wasn't even sticky anymore.
No. That's from when I had a store.
Oh, okay.
I still have it.
That would have made sense if you had told us that shit.
Bulk. I have bulk.
You have bulk everything.
I buy bulk. Yeah. I bought bulk. I still have, you know what? Because I still have bubble wrap from the store 7 years ago.
You know what's funny though? I'm on the same page as you with hoarding now because I feel as though my wife is we need to throw this shit out. I'm like, no, that could be a good costume for a movie.
Oh.
And I'm like, you never know when you might
have
need it.
I have tubs of costume. Whenever someone needs a costume, I've got a hookup.
Seriously.
No, I've got a hookup. I got props. Look, some of our scenes are funny in the movie. There's a moment that's funny because I just have this weird shit to put in a yard sale. Right? So it's like, no. So you have a hockey mask?
Yeah.
Why do you have an evil pig face from 1986? Because science doesn't throw shit out.
Yeah. Right.
That's why.
And then, you know, it's the second you throw it out is that you're like, oh, that would have been great in that movie.
Need it. Yeah. I can't this weekend. I was I need AAA batteries. I can't fucking find some.
I probably threw them away.
I don't hoard the right things.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And also big thanks to Skyline Properties for use of the space, one of our sponsors. If you are interested in residential buying or selling, go to silasgetsreal.com. Of course, as you fans know, I'm also a real estate agent, and I can hook you up with a great deal.
Yes. Do you have anything coming up at the end of the year?
Like shows?
No, December, like any open houses that...
I wouldn't know now.
Well, I don't know.
I have Christmas.
Well, I mean...
I'm going to try to sell Jesus a house.
There you go. That's what I like to hear.
Baby Jesus.
Baby, yeah.
Before they kick him out.
You're right. Before they deport him, you right. Evil people out there.
I am performing in the... yeah, this will come out in time for the Seattle International Comedy Competition.
Oh,
the
auditions. Sure you, yeah, make sure you check that out.
I'll be doing that mid-September. Show number 2.
Okay.
At the Underground. Are you... You're not doing it again?
I. You know what? I explained this to Jesse Warren that I am a bit cowardice with that because it's now I've been on Comedy Central, and if anybody beats me or I don't get into this shit... Like, then it's like, then they're like, oh, see, I should have been on that show.
Plenty of people have been in Comedy Central that do the show and don't get passed on.
Yeah, but I mean.
People from the E! Network.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point. But still, I'm in my head about that. We talk about that in the episode, so you should listen.
Do we?
We just talk about just self-defeat and not going
through. Yeah, it's true. We get some life coaching from Chris Zapata.
We do. $1 million advice. You better listen and sign up for one of his classes.
Check him out. And of course, hey, we're on a big push to like our Facebook page. So if you could do that, just take that 5 seconds it does to do that. And also if you enjoy this episode, please go right to iTunes and rate us. We need some, more ratings in there so that they'll activate our rating box.
Yes.
So if you liked it, just go there, hit 5 stars, say how much you love us.
Yeah. And you know,
because you appreciate minorities. Let us know, because right now,
yeah, we're not
worried that you're racist.
Yeah. And we don't want you to come across that way. And you liking us and sharing us would be a great way to prove that you're not.
Yeah. Like when, if people on Facebook sometimes say like, oh, that's kind of racist. You can say, I'm not racist. I gave a good review to Black and a Half.
Yep.
That's your
covering all bases.
It's your with card.
That. But do me a favor. In the words of Todd Sanderson, who used to run Tickle Me Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Tell a friend to tell a friend about our podcast.
Oh,
there you go.
Tell
pass
a
it
friend
on.
To tell a friend.
Tell a friend to tell
oh,
a friend.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
That's like multi-level marketing.
That really is. Tell a friend, and share it.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. Share this episode. Episode number 48, Chris Zapata.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
I guess I'll say it. No, that's all right. We say it anyways. But we were in Austin, Texas, and everybody wanted to go to the strip club. Not everybody. So
yeah.
the three young guys, which were me and two of the like tech people and like marketing people, they didn't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
But the older guys wanted to go, and they're like, "You haven't seen a strip club in Austin," and I'm like, "I really don't want to." Like it was. And first of all, it's like,
are boobies different?
Yeah, the Spectrum Brown Sugar.
Oh, that's a good one.
Man, yeah. I was
right.
Yeah.
I also loved, I like romance movies, like even like Love and Basketball. That shit was.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good.
They don't make movies like that, remember? Because it was cheesy, but it was like, yo.
Right.
Hey, yo.
yeah. Play me for your heart.
I think cheesy, I only think of cheesy as when something doesn't do it well.
Okay.
Because, I mean,
like, give an example.
Cheesy. I think if it's just poorly executed.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's cheesy. Because it means right. They didn't make you feel. Or some people will say, oh, that's cheesy.
Right.
Well, did it give you an emotional reaction? They're like, well, yeah. They're like, well, that's the whole point. Sorry you felt sympathy or love for a second,
right.
You cold-hearted.
Yeah.
I like to think that I'm less into a genre and I'm more into story.
Right.
So like I don't care what if it's a rom-com or a drama, if the story is there.
I feel like the last Star Wars didn't really draw me in as much as I wanted it to.
I masturbated to it several times. It was so awesome.
I loved it.
You know, my only problem was.
I'm a fan of, I'm with you on that one, man.
So spoiler alert for all those of you who haven't seen the movie yet.
Both of you.
But there were no actual lightsaber duels between two lightsabers where the lightsabers touched in the movie, which kind of bothered me. And then you just have the waste of a villain. Like,
what?
He was Snoke was super powerful, and then all of a sudden, it's like.
It's an Emperor, too. So what?
Yeah.
Did it with the Emperor.
I guess.
Did it with Darth Maul.
Yeah.
Did it with Count Dooku.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, Dooku did have a fight with Yoda.
Yeah.
Which was the stupidest fucking fight in the history of Star
Wars. Really?
When Yoda was just bouncing around like a little rabbit.
I thought he was great.
You Yoda want
was
CGI?
Yeah.
CGI Yoda is the worst thing to ever happen. CGI Yoda is why I hate CGI.
Really?
Terminator 2.
I'm with you.
Did not have CGI, or not as we know it now.
Okay.
It's amazing how well it holds up. These special effects.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
even in the future when the robots are like walking.
Yeah,
they still
those
look,
are practicals.
Yeah.
They were awesome, but I like CGI is horrible. CGI Yoda was like, it was just unbelievable.
Okay, let me ask you this. Franchises that need to die. I say you got to stop Terminator. Like, you've done enough Terminator movies.
I'm with you on that. Yeah, okay. I don't want to see another one.
I don't need to see another RoboCop.
They did some bad.
RoboCop, yeah, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. What else?
What's another one that, I mean, what's another one that's coming out or that came out? You're like, no, what? No, yeah. We don't need another one of those.
Star Trek. No, I'm just fucking around.
So, you know, like, I'm not a horror fan,
yeah.
But there's certain horror movies that I
yeah, that's
watch.
True. I'm with you.
I watch, for some reason, I really like the Purge series.
That was, I only saw the first one, but it was really good.
Check this out. I just saw a commercial. I think it's USA Network.
They're doing a series.
Yeah. The Purge
TV
show. Which I was like.
Did
first
you ever
off,
see?
I'm like,
no, I haven't seen it this year. I haven't seen
one. Okay. I'm like, how are you doing this on a network?
You're right.
I mean, I know it's not the big four, but
yeah,
cable network. But how are you? I'm like, okay, they're gonna have to clean this up a bit.
Yeah, you can't just be murdering people on TV.
The
but,
horror right. level, like so, this should be HBO, right?
So, yeah. So do you know the concept behind the Purge?
Yes.
Okay. So like that's the thing that it's like when I saw the first one, I was like, holy shit! Like. Thank God this can never happen, right? And then all of a sudden when Trump got elected, I was like, holy shit, this really could happen. You know, so it's batshit crazy.
I like, did you guys see the Blanco Project or the Belko
Project? Oh, that shit looked nuts.
The Belko Project?
So basically, they're in this building. All of a sudden, all the doors lock and they shut down.
I saw the trailer for that one.
There's like, you have, what, 30 minutes to kill?
Six people or... all of you will die or something. They'll kill 12.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it goes further than this experiment that was...
You actually saw it?
Yeah.
Was it good?
I mean, yeah. But in a horror film, that's what I was expecting.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't... Like, it's not great cinema.
Okay. Like, so it wasn't like Final Piece good.
But it had some people good in it.
Okay. It was good,
yeah,
but it wasn't
like
Final Piece.
The award-winning film,
Final Piece. Right. That he directed. And
right.
But it was just this fascinating.
Shout out
like,
to the
I love this.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I just love the concept. So when the concept is really interesting, I'll go see it. Like it's not like Nightmare on Elm Street. I mean,
it's
I
been,
know people love it.
I can't.
But,
it's been done too many times.
Well, just everyone in high school. When I was in high school, everyone was talking about Nightmare on Elm Street. Like the next one was out or whatever, and they're like, "Oh, it's great." And I knew another guy who liked it a while ago, so I got my parents to rent it.
Right.
My stepfather and we stopped it. So and I was like fine stopping it because it was just like it was just gross.
And it's
like,
it's
slasher,
just,
you know. They're like, this is evil.
Yeah,
they felt like it was evil to watch it. And I convinced them to get it for the night,
dude. And it's like it's so crazy because it's like that's all Freddy did was like call people bitches throughout the whole thing and then stab people. He's like, take this bitch. And it's like,
yeah,
whoa, right.
You know what's funny? I think I was more bothered at the time by the language, like the bitch. Than the killing, because I think my parents would have been for more, because it made it extra violent.
Right.
I think the one-liners bothered me a little bit.
Yeah, it's just
all choked up.
As bad as like, Mr. Freeze and like, what was it, Batman Forever or whatever? Where he was like, chill out. Or, no, it was Batman and Robin that he was in. It was so bad.
Hasta la vista, baby. It's funny. Someone got mad because I said that Keanu Reeves was a bad actor, and I was like, "He's a bad actor. You can still like the film."
Yeah, I mean, he like plays his role well. I think. Like, did you see John Wick?
John Wick was amazing. I like John Wick.
I've not seen that.
Okay, see John Wick 1 and 2, and tell me he's not perfect for that. He's perfect for The Matrix, right?
Yeah.
Kind of monotone, and I feel like he was good for like Bill and Ted.
Yeah, Bill and Teddy was great.
Yeah. They're doing a part three.
What? Of Bill and Ted or
Bill and Ted 3.
Have what? You seen him in Much Ado About Nothing?
No, I heard he's awful.
No.
Have you seen him in The Devil's Advocate?
Yes.
I did see that.
Yeah.
So you mean to tell me that Like, go check out. There was what else was he in? The Replacements. You see that?
Yeah.
Or and then what was the one where he was in the hood helping the baseball team?
Ooh.
Yeah, he was like, "Jay, baby, I just need you to go ahead and swing the bat. Whatever happens, happens." He's like, "Oh, a lot of passion."
But he's like, "Wow." This
or G baby was his name. Yeah. I was like,
And I remember talking about this in college with some like this woman,
right?
And she's like, "Yeah, but he's really hot."
Is he?
And I'm like, here's what pissed me off. I was like, even then,
yeah.
If I said, yeah, Pamela Anderson, oh yeah, she's shitty, but she's so hot. I just love staring at her.
Right.
I'm a pig.
Yeah. But women can objectify us all they want.
They're like, oh,
hear that, ladies?
Fine.
I don't mind you objectifying us, but still.
Still, just let me objectify.
Give us a little, give us a little room. A little room.
Let me breathe. God. man.
So, Chris, you're in a way like you're not a movie reviewer. You're like a life coach, actually. Right?
I'm a movie buff though. I'll go to all movies. I go to pre screenings. You know, I go
really?
To
really.
Yeah.
So where do you get pre screening tickets? Well, like, I've always wondered that.
I'll hook you up. I got
I'm in like it. I got a couple links. I'm in like a group. I get emails all the time, and you going to this one next week? And I'm like, I'm going. I'm not paying for that one.
Right.
You know, I went to the Spider-Man preview.
Yeah.
Here's what gets me mad. Sometimes, like,
sometimes it's not
like
the whole
anybody
thing?
In there. but I mean, it's like worse than opening night. There's a bunch of kids.
Right.
In movies that I don't want to. Why are you letting these kids in their pajamas to see? There's no trailers, right?
Right.
Is there ever trailers when you go?
No. It goes right into the movie.
Yeah, they go right into the movie.
I love trailers.
Yeah.
So there's no like prep time for the movie.
My wife doesn't understand why I get mad when we're late to a movie.
I'm
just like.
I'm disappointed when
I
get in there.
Like two or three previews. So, anyways.
I do enjoy preview. I have a love hate relationship with previews,
yeah,
like or trailers,
right?
Because like I love seeing them, and then I hate myself for watching them because I'm like, I would have seen the movie. I don't need to be spoiled.
Yeah,
like, don't spoil anything. Just,
yeah. Some of them are like they go too much into it, and then here's the problem: is you throughout the movie are like, okay, when does this scene happen? You know,
I try to put that in the back of my head.
Yeah,
sometimes I'll remember. But like Star Wars movies.
Right.
I don't need to see a trailer.
Yeah.
I'm going to go. I'll be there opening night. Yeah. So I don't need.
All you have to do is say Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly. Like, okay. That's my preview. Totally.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to go.
Just give me a title and let me imagine what may come.
Han Solo didn't get enough love.
That I thought Han Solo was good.
I thought so too.
It's almost better than between you and I. The Last Jedi was good, but it wasn't.
Last Jedi. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Great.
No.
I thought the story could have been a little.
Man, what they did, how they made Luke Skywalker a little bitch. I was mad. I'm like, that's Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, Luke Skywalker. Yeah. He definitely wasn't a little bitch in A New Hope.
Yo, like.
New Hope.
Yeah, I mean.
But you're pimping in the third one, though. Yeah, I mean, you come out.
Okay, here's the thing. Like, okay, you could start out. He started out real timid, real weak, whatever, right?
He's still a bitch. I want to go get them.
Whatever. But he's shocked. Hey, he blew up a fucking Death Star. I ain't seen you done that shit. So then the next one, he wasn't quite ready for him, but he took on Darth Vader, lost a hand, right? So kind of manned up a little bit. Then he went to go try to save Darth Vader and then took on the Emperor. He got fucked up, but he still went there. You know what I mean? By himself. That's pretty ballsy.
And he didn't do it.
But then
Vader had to save his bitch ass.
Then you get to episode 7. Nowhere to be seen, right? Yeah, and we're like, oh man, okay, so Luke's gonna show up. All right, it's gonna be man. He's been training Jedi, he's been doing this. He trained this new Sith Lord.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden,
you're gonna tell me, like, after all that, he's gonna be like, I'm just gonna imagine that I'm there.
Yeah,
and project myself, you know?
Yeah,
and so, so fast forward, it's just like,
that's the unrealistic part. That's the unrealistic part.
Well, no, here's the thing, Here's what I think should have happened, at least in my opinion. First off, fuck what they did with Mary Poppins Leia. That was ridiculous. Right? So
it actually makes sense, but
Mary Poppins Leia.
If you are using the Force to go, you are going to literally float through the space. There's no, I mean.
Yeah, but still, why even have that scene? It's just
to show that she had Force.
Yeah, so. I mean, but you could have showed her having the Force in different ways.
What do you want her, like, using a vibrator with the Force?
Probably. That would have been better than floating like Mary Poppins.
Years back, it would might have been, that's you what I'm know, saying.
So she's, maybe she Force projects Han and is like, hey.
Physicist actually explained why that scene made sense.
Okay, well, fair enough.
Like, using a lot of physics, that makes total sense.
But. Yeah, but I don't know why you'd even have it. People were just like, you know what would have been better? That person who fixed the whole thing where she is, like, floating through. Instead, she, like, reaches out and she just destroys all those ships and just flies through them. That would have been...
That would have been done.
Whatever. So, but then you kill off Luke Skywalker without even letting him, like, pass the torch. Let Ren kill him or whatever.
Literally did pass the torch.
Not really. Sure. I mean, he just faded away like Yoda, like...
Then they were like, he's gone. Yeah. He's gone.
So
yeah, and, he's in the next fucking movie, too.
Yeah, I'm sure he is, but it's just like...
why does everyone think he's gone when we saw Ben Kenobi was in every goddamn movie?
Yeah, but he didn't even get to, like, pull out a lightsaber and show us what he's been up to since.
I wanted to see some skills.
That's what I'm saying. I wanted to see how badass he was now.
You want to see 80-year-old Mark Hamill... wield a lightsaber.
They could have CGI'd the fuck.
They could have.
You know, he was going to look like Professor X and Logan if he tried to do anything. You don't want to. Luke doesn't need to go out like that.
Defend your shitty movie.
It's awesome. It's an amazing movie.
I guess so bad Ben was like, I'm not coming back. You're not even force projected me in this movie.
You know, it's like, I feel like it's a big wake up call to people that said they were fans. The previous movies, because that means they weren't watching the other movies.
I liked episode one.
Huh? Well, that just
you know what? You are really a fan.
I'm just saying. Yeah, so, for real.
What? So that just shows that actually, you don't have a say.
Okay. What was good, though?
Had a good fight scene.
Two was the one I had a problem with. Two was like, really?
All over the place. So
I'm going to cut Apple with the Force.
I rewatched.
That's so sexy the way you cut that.
I rewatched the trilogy with that trilogy.
With the kids.
Yeah, with Sierra. When I went through, it was a reminder of how fucking bad the prequels were. I'm like, oh, I haven't actually. I basically watched the fight scene.
Right.
As far as I was concerned, that was the movie. I just watched the final with Darth Maul.
Yeah.
20 times.
Yeah.
Occasionally see parts of it and cringe. They're watching each one and going, well, that doesn't even. No, you can't.
Okay.
What?
Rotten Tomatoes gave.
I don't care what
the newest. Gave the newest Star Wars. Gave it a 91.
Wow.
The audience score gave him a 46.
Yeah, but also it was known to be hijacked by a bunch of crazy.
Yeah,
like, crazy.
Those racist fans.
You're right. Exactly.
They've been shitting on the poor Asian girl.
They voted for Trump and didn't like Last Jedi. So.
I don't know. The new Asian. Isn't yours in there too? I mean, all of a sudden, her and Finn are in love now.
No, I don't think he's in love with her. I think she's in love with him, and I think he's still gonna like. Hopefully, he'll hook up.
Oh my god! Can you believe someone might fall in love with the hero of the resistance?
Yeah, but I'd rather him be with her.
Let's
make some half black Jedi babies. You know what I'm saying? Like, why not?
Why make it so easy?
Why not?
Like, I love. There was someone did a comic of like, if you gave everybody what they wanted. In the everyone said they wanted after The Force Awakens. It was like, oh, what a nice cookie cutter boring movie you would have gotten. Like,
all I'm saying.
And Rey's. She's the daughter of Luke Skywalker. Everyone's connected.
That would have been kind of dope.
That would have been dope. And then also a love scene between Finn.
What?
And who is it, Rey? You know what I mean? Where she's just like, give me that.
Exactly. Get over here.
Oh, just shit.
Pick him up and bring him over. That's what you got to do with the Force. Yeah,
pick him up and go, oh, shit. No.
No? It's all,
whatever.
It was a good film.
Yeah, let Silas write the movie.
Right.
I'm in a Facebook group that basically just like makes fun of people for not liking it. You just post all these things and compare it to like
a year after the fact.
Oh, yeah. It's not very active, but occasionally an article comes out like talking about like in defense of it, and we're like, yeah, read up. Other people understand.
Oh god. So getting back to where we were, so motivational
Billy
speaker.
D. Williams.
So if I remember correctly. Your grandfather was a minister, right?
My godfather.
Well, your godfather, exactly. So, and knew Les Brown.
Yes.
So you know Les Brown, right?
No. The motivational speaker.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Oh man, yeah.
So you're the one who sent me like one of his clips about the bamboo tree.
I don't care about their names. I just send like here's something motivational.
I was watching that before, like Well, not before anybody, but I was like
before anybody,
before anybody,
before his parents.
You know what's funny about Les Brown though?
What's that?
I feel like when you watch young Les Brown, super powerful energy. Older Les Brown is like, well, you know, you lazy motherfucker. You know what I mean? Just like kind of like
he is, right?
A little bit.
I never thought about that. Yeah,
man. But I didn't know he was.
You can't get tired. You got to do it. Like, okay, I'm a lazy right now.
And he was married to Gladys Knight.
Oh yeah, he was. Yeah.
So.
But she divorced him?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So,
yeah.
That's black love for you, though. We only stay together, and then we get back together for the kids. And then
motivation.
So.
Yeah. Motivational speaker couldn't motivate his wife to love him.
I saw him last year, right? I mean, you're always in your mind, you're like, can he motivate me again? I don't know. And he got up, and I was like, I'm about to tear up. He's good, though. Yeah, he's good.
So what led you into being like a life coach?
You know, I lost my mother when I was 15, and so my dad was homeless, right? Mm-hmm. And so my godfather kind of grabbed me to keep me out of trouble, and then I kind of got into it to, like, fix my own life because, you know, that'll, like, take the rug from under you, right?
Yeah.
And so my life was messed up for a minute, you know, because the same year I got separated from my sister.
Oh.
I was living with my cousins.
Mm-hmm.
They were great. They did the best they could, but they were Japanese. So I went from like a total love you, mom, to Japanese family that was totally no emotions. Like, just go ahead and clean your room and give us some rent when you need it. You know what I mean? And so I was in that place of trying to also like find out who I am as a man. And so just seeking, trying to, you know, wanting to like become better. And like even like now, it's like I just want to build a life that's not messed up. You know what I mean?
Man.
You
know what
I
mean? Yeah,
that's powerful. Oh, that's a question. We did a show together recently.
Yeah.
And then you wrote in a message to me, you said it was nice building with you.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was a typo.
Yeah.
And then I saw your motivational speaker or life coach. And I was like, what do you mean build? Is build a term?
Actually, have you heard that term before?
Building building relationships. And
yeah, like, I think we don't. Yeah. So building is like, you know, you can just hang with someone on the surface.
Right.
But I feel like what we did that night, we were really building
connecting. Silas said. He said that was one of the best shows he's been on in a long time.
So. As far as like, I mean, no audience.
Right. Oh, man. We
just fun.
And then you laugh
absolutely.
A lot. But I was back, you know, in the back with everyone talking. Yeah. Was so fun.
Oh, right. Man.
Like, I haven't had that in a while because there was, I had no nemesis there.
Isn't that great? Like, when there's no beef and everybody gets along. I love that.
And everyone had a great set, and the lasagna soup was amazing.
So please tell me about this lasagna soup I keep hearing about.
I'm just like, okay, I'm at a bar.
Yeah.
And like, there's special lasagna soup, and it says cooked in a crock pot. And I'm like, I didn't fucking leave my house to get crockpot food, first of all. And then lasagna soup, as I said, I'm like, what happened? They made a lasagna. You're like, how can we improve this? Well, let's fucking put some water in it and just make it a soup. Or JR said, like, oh, that's mean you screwed up your lasagna and throw it in a blender and then you call it soup.
Oh,
I was just like, I just was going off. I'm like, what the fuck is this lasagna soup? I was in the back just talking to them, and that's when I was like, I'm going to talk about it. I'm going up there.
Did you?
Then I brought it into as many jokes as I could. If it wasn't going, I was like, I mean, yeah, French fries is no lasagna soup.
Hilarious. Second wife, I mean, you know. Just like,
no, second all wife. Night they kept on like pitching it to you guys. That's why I was cracking up because did you want some of that? You know, a special tonight's lasagna soup, and I was like, ice kept rolling.
And I was like, Johnny's gonna get an email about comms can't make fun of the food.
Did he show up? Was he there?
He's always there. Okay. No, but I was like, he's gonna get an email because every one of us made fun of it.
God, I love Johnny.
Like, we gotta
talk about like his heart of gold.
He is, oh man,
hardest working man, and it's one of the hardest working producers.
He really is. Like, he goes from like, I don't know how, but like he was doing the casinos, and then he was like touring with like Adam or whatever the guy's name. I can't remember the guy's name, but he's always on the road working on comedy, and good for him, man. It's cool to see where people. The only thing I will say about Johnny is he has these golden bits that he won't use. And it just.
Are you serious?
I swear to God, I don't know what it is. He has these great stories. If you ever get a chance to talk to him off the air, they are gems. Like. Yeah, I won't put his shit out there, but they are like fucking golden. And I'm like, dude, why don't you talk about that on stage? So
I told him before. He has told me a story. I'm like, why are you not doing this on stage?
Yeah.
You don't think about it, because like I do that. Like, I'll be telling somebody something.
But you don't think it's
interesting. They're like, do you talk about that? I'm like, no, I don't really think about that. Yeah. Like, really? Is that funny? You're like, that's hilarious. I was like, that's my life. I didn't think that was
funny. But yeah, it's interesting. When you live it, you don't think it's funny. Like, right. I don't, like for me, like my dad leaving me with his like old white woman, like when I was a teenager, and everybody was like, are you fucking her? I was like, no. They're like, you should talk about that on stage. I'm like, no, that's not funny. I mean, I'm like,
it would be, but then you don't, you
don't think of it like
that. I can't get the bit right. Yeah. Like, Angela Dennison, one of the owners of Laughs, told me how to do it. Mm-hmm. And she's right. I just can't get the right combo.
Right.
But because I was talking about how my, I was telling Brett Hamill, I was like, my mom's a Rastafarian.
Right.
I know she's back in Massachusetts, but like she's like, she's from Jamaica. No, she's from Boston. She has a Boston accent. And so she'll use that and then she'll switch into like a Jamaican. If she's talking to somebody about Rastafarianism, right, or talking to a Rasta person, she has her Rasta people and then her family.
Gotcha.
And she'll talk Boston to them.
Hilarious.
And so Angela's like, it's got to be a bit that you're on the phone talking to her and she's talking and you have to go back between the two.
Oh, I could see
and
that.
And like, she's like, that's how it's done, because
so she's like,
because she's seen everybody. Yeah. So she knows how this bit's supposed to work.
Yeah.
And she's right. I just have to get the what's supposed to be said, because my mother definitely cradles these two worlds of her Boston and her Rasta.
That is fucking funny, wow, if you think about it. That's, so it's like, hey there, boy, what you talking about? I be on these fucking New England Patriot. You know what I mean?
Like, what you, yeah, it's like, Mom, you're from Boston.
You say fucking wicked awesome.
Or some fucking wicked awesome. What's with you retarded kid?
That shit be retarded.
Like, what the fuck is he talking about? Now that's the bit.
That's the bit. The Boston roster. That is wild.
She's got this thick accent. She pretends all the time. Like, I think I learned how to act from her. She's like, that's not who you are, mother.
Oh,
like,
man.
I never thought of my mother being a Rastafarian as that funny.
Yeah.
And like, Brett's like, why are you talking about that?
It's always interesting because we have these bigger than life characters.
Absolutely.
You know, that are in our lives. But it's like, we've lived it, so we don't think about it. Like, my Auntie Sherry will cuss anybody out. She don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? Like, when I was 15 and I was moving up here to Seattle, she literally pulled me aside. She was like, hey, sometimes in life, you got to check a motherfucker. And I was like, oh, wow. Shit. You know what I mean? That's just how she is. And just blunt. She'll cuss everybody out. She cussed, like, I feel like she'll cuss my grandmother out, if you know what I mean.
Wow.
Like, so, I mean, but it was, she also lost her mother at a young age, sure, so she had to grow up faster.
Sure.
And life was hard for her, so I get it, man, you know, but it's like.
So, I mean, so yeah, how you became a life coach, or that I mean, was the motivator. Yeah, sure. Did you go to life coach school or anything, or like, was it?
You know, I got a couple certifications, because I realized that, you know, in order to offer
a quality product.
Exactly. And say, okay, I want to charge you $100 an hour. I want to be able to have
the
couple certifications. So NLP.
Like University of Phoenix kind of.
You know, like NLP, you know, the Tony Robbins stuff. So, NLP, what else? I've done, you know, what? Basic counseling stuff. And then some, you know, I'm trying to think of.
Did you do anything like play football and then get injured and then come back?
No, you know, it wasn't. It was all really just trying to deal with, my emotions of not having a connection, a family connection.
Right.
You know, that was probably the biggest one. And then seeing my dad, I mean, remember when I was in middle school, I was on a field trip down in the university district with the school, and my dad was across the street eating out of the garbage can.
Wow.
And so I had to ignore that, or hopefully him not see me.
Damn.
You know,
did
with
he see
him? No, he didn't. Wow. So, but he was. Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
so he
man,
was
that
gone.
Would have been the movie moment.
Yeah,
right? Where he's like, "Son, come over," and then they're like, "Is that your dad? I don't know who
it
that
was
is."
Tough, man. That's how I was. I was like, "Yeah, we're gonna this. We should go to lunch over here. We should do this." Because you know, and so it was really just that was tough. And then you know, having you know, I mean, I love my uncles, but you know, all of them at the time were just you know either selling weed or smoking weed.
Right.
And,
right. Two different worlds, right?
Yeah.
So your mother was Japanese or?
My mother was Mexican, Indian, and Filipino.
Okay, okay.
My dad was black and white. So okay. He light skinned with the fro.
Okay. Wow.
Out of Texas.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Okay. And then.
Foster kid, though. Later on, though, I found out he was a foster kid. I had more.
Yeah.
I got more compassion because, you know.
Yeah.
he had a hard life. He was passed around a couple times, and
yeah, man, that's the thing. I actually met some foster kids.
Yeah.
And just you.
Are these the white kids and
yeah, yeah.
your fans?
Yeah, the ones in New York. Yeah, they were okay. little telling me racist jokes, but
yeah.
But you don't realize. I mean, they're telling you about how they like this. This one kid who was adorable. He didn't tell me any racist jokes. He was like. He was like, you know, I really miss my mom, but she was enabling my dad. You know, he's only like seven. Right. And I'm like, damn, you already know what enabling is?
What? How old?
Like seven.
Wow.
You know, and he was just like, yeah, you know, it's like, I hope someday that me and my dad and my mom could be back together. You don't realize like how tough it is because he was like, this is my second home and hopefully this will be the final one. You know, and I'm just like, damn, it's like. You know,
John Connor was with foster kids.
Yeah, man.
And he thought his mom was crazy.
Yeah. Then he stole out that ATM.
Turns out she was right.
Yeah, man.
She was right. So maybe that kid needs.
Maybe he needs to. Maybe his mom's Sarah Connor.
You need this lie. Yeah, you need lies like Sarah Connor level lies. Right. If something's wrong, you'd be like, it's because we're from the future.
He'd be like, yeah, because that sounds cooler.
You're right.
Exactly.
Yeah. My mom's crazy. Thinks we're from the future. But maybe it's true.
So when you hire people, do you take them through like a lesson plan or is it just like a.
I just try to find out what they're. What are they trying to pursue?
Right.
What are they trying to, you know, is it a character trait? Mm-hmm. Is it a habit? Is it a. Do they understand who they are?
Right.
Because usually that's it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, because one of my godfather's friends used to say, "What purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable." So it's like, if you don't know what you're.
Wait, say that again. Say that again.
"What purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable." So if you don't know why, if you don't understand your own purpose, you're going to abuse your life and be out there doing crazy stuff. You know, if you don't have a clear goal.
Yeah.
That's how you get pulled into other stuff. You know, I mean, I see friends in high school now that are either, you know, messed up on weed, alcohol, because they don't have a clear focus.
Serious. What's really prominent in from the school I went to, right, down in Kent. Mm-hmm. And all these kids, I remember when we were in our senior year, like me and my buddy Brian and Jeff, like Jeff kind of dabbled a little bit, but only in weed, but he never did any of the other stuff.
Right.
But me and Brian never really touched anything. And like Brian, I think, drank a little bit. But we started noticing all of our friends doing the painkillers. Like, from football, right? And then the painkillers turned into other stuff. And they were like, hey, do you know where we can get some of this? And then, so now, you look in and you see, like, all these people on heroin and, like, you know, ODing and shit. And it's just like, man, I can't tell you how many people have died from our school just like over crazy stuff, you know. So it's weird to watch all your peers spiral.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's like not knowing your purpose. So
What if someone feels like they know their purpose but just don't do it? Like they don't go for it. Like is that like okay, like in myself, like I know I have stuff I want to do, I have stuff sitting on my computer to do it.
Right.
But then I'm like, well, but I'm not caught up on Ballers yet. I want to play this video game. Like, what do you help with people finding their motivations to actually achieve the goals that they've?
Exactly. I think it goes back to you know, if you lock someone into passion, you're not going to have to like
really push them too
hard. Exactly.
Right? I was just thinking about that.
Yeah.
When it comes to script writing. Oh man, I love it. It's just something different. But if you sit me down and try to tell me I need to write new jokes, I stare at the paper for fucking hours and I can't do it. But it's just not like creating. It's not like creating new characters and storylines and everything else. So it's fascinating.
Yeah, and then something. Then there's the other side of it, right? Because I was talking to a friend recently, and I was like, I'm there too. I think to a degree, all of us are there. Sometimes I get afraid about. On the other side of my being great.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm like, ooh, can I be?
Yeah, like what happens?
Yeah, it's my own greatness that I'm like sometimes like, ooh, it's not even about everyone else. It's like.
And that's the thing that Les Brown said, right? Yeah. He was like, you know, some people are afraid to take that step and try, but for the sense of what happens if I get all these things, you know, and like what happens when I, like, if I do succeed, will I be able to handle it?
What's next?
Yeah, what's next? And it is weird. I'll be the first to say I'm my own worst like enemy when it comes to that. And it's like, people have said multiple times you need to be in LA doing this acting, or Silas is like, go take an acting class, you know? And so, but it's like part of me is like, well, fuck, do I know what it'll leave? Like, what if I'm bad at it? And then, you know,
No.
Or what if it's like, you know, but sometimes I'm also like, well, shit, everybody's going to be more advanced than me, but it's like beginner's classes. So, you know,
but you're also always more advanced than someone else.
That's true. Yeah.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. Like you're always, I had a student when I was sort of, running the drama program right. at East Lake High School. And one of my students, Jonica, she was like,
wait, can we play a game real quick? Jonica, what race do you think she is? Can I guess?
I already said where it was.
Wait, where is this at?
East Lake High School.
Oh, okay. Just the name Jonica.
She Russian? Or did she, I mean,
East Lake High actually, was I think she might have been.
Yeah,
I was Polish descent. Yeah, okay. But
no, either Polish or Russian. I was going to be like,
I was like, it's East Lake High School.
Like, right.
With Jonica.
Hey, girl.
Yeah. No, she was like, because she had wanted the role of Mercutio.
Okay.
You know, one of the big roles. And this new girl got it.
Scratch.
Linnea, right?
Mm-hmm.
This girl from Florida who was a amazing actor.
Right.
She was amazing, like coming in. And she was like, you know, I feel like there's always going to be a Linnea. Everywhere she goes, there's going to be someone who beats her out.
Right. This.
And granted, she got the role of Tybalt, which first she was like, Tybalt doesn't have a lot of lines
right.
in Romeo and Juliet mm-hmm. because Tybalt's in three fights. Tybalt fights a lot. They,
right.
Their rehearsal time is in fight training, for stage. Like,
right.
Because they just come out and start fighting everybody.
Right? Okay.
It's a great role. People want to play it. But in high school, you count lines, you know?
Yeah.
And she was saying, there's always going to be a Linnea out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I said, yeah. At the same hand, someone else is saying, there's always a Jonica out there.
Yeah.
Because you got Tybalt. Mm-hmm. Someone didn't get Tybalt.
Yeah.
They wanted that. There's always... There is all, and I'm like, I can't deny you that there's going to be someone better out there or that gets the roles. They may not even be better. They just try hard and they just, till they get it. But there always is.
Totally.
So you just kind of got to,
yeah.
But I'm going to do it anyway.
Always going to be a Keanu Reeves. You know what I mean? So,
like, I mean, look, I'm feel like I'm seeing all these guys that I started with or that I feel like I've been on shows with them. I've been the finalist with them.
Right.
And now they're starting to headline the local comedy clubs.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not.
Wilfred.
And I'm like, yeah. No, but at the same point, they're out every week. I'm not.
Yeah.
Sometimes I want to go like, if I was out as much as these guys, fuck, I'd be the bomb right now.
Oh, totally.
Because I was like with them for so long.
I mean, we've talked about that.
In the marathon. But all of them headlining for the most part. I'm like, that's awesome for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. And now I also get the hints that I was given a couple of years ago when I was told by like the club owner, I need you out more because I got, you know, I'd love to see some things happen. And at the time I was thinking like, they're not doing feature spots now. So what's the matter?
Yeah. How am I going to progress?
Oh, now I get it.
All right.
He meant I didn't even think of it. Right, like he's thinking in 2 years, I want you headlining.
But also, I mean, we look at it from a standpoint of, we're just hosting right now, or we're just doing guest spots. What's the possibility of me headlining?
Like, right. And now I see all my peers headlining. Like, oh, that's what he. Ah, crap.
Right. Okay, I mean, like, even when I was first starting at the parlor, I was like, oh, I can have a feature. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, then you start featuring, but you can headline off nights, you know, or you just need enough credits. I mean, or, you know, enough following. That's all it is.
And I mean, I look at, because at the same token, I'm able to look at, like, yeah, I'm not headlining here. But because I put energy in other things that they're not doing.
Right.
Like, but they didn't. I just directed a short. I've directed two films in the last month.
Yeah, totally. You know,
so there's like, oh, I've got I've got my own thing. So there's always, and I know there's people that have been pissed off at opportunities I've gotten over the last 7 years.
Oh yeah, totally.
That they're like, why the hell does he get that? So there's always a Linnea.
Yeah.
Linnea's always there.
It is interesting to watch our local scene though, because it's like I've seen so much growth from so many people, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, who's it? Wilfred was down in like LA working with some big, you know, writer, and I'm like, shit,
wow.
I didn't even know you were networking with this guy. Then you see Brian Moon took over for Carson Daly on his like radio show.
Is that who took over for?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's like all these people are just like making these like. Who was it? Jen Seaman had like a cooking
and then
Monty.
Nice.
who used to be on Brook and Monty in the morning. I mean, she went down and was on MasterChef, and now she has some other crazy thing. So it's just like staying in long enough, and, you know, shit, even I got Kevin Hart. You know what I mean? But that was...
Even Manny.
Even I.
Hey, you know, Manny. But you know, this is the thing, though. I was trying to tell Manny. I was like, bro, you have a clip on Comedy Central. That's huge.
Right.
To me, I mean, I don't know. I mean, with my bio, hit me, go ahead and send you this link.
You know,
it's Comedy Central.
So that's funny. You know? I actually applied for a festival, which I'm sure I'm not going to get into.
Why are you saying? Why?
Well, just because I haven't heard back yet.
Okay,
and,
I got you.
And so I sent it in. But it's just like, I've seen some of the people in this competition, and I'm like, really? You know what I mean? I know they haven't gotten those credits. And also, like certain people haven't even been doing comedy. Like this, like one person who made it hadn't been doing comedy in like years.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes I think it's just who you know a lot of times, how you get into these things.
I've heard, I mean, you hear stuff about that. Like, really, it is a network to a degree. But I think, like, I was talking to a younger comic. I can say this because they don't know. That was down at a festival recently, and they didn't get on like the best or whatever.
Right, right.
And I was like, they're good. And I was like, well, you'll be doing a comic. You going on your second year now?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, just enjoy everything you've learned at this stage.
Right.
Because in your mind, you're thinking everyone who went up is not going to instantly become a star.
Right.
Like, what's yours is yours.
Mm-hmm.
If you want the continuity and the depth.
Right.
You'll have your time. And I think that people get, and even with me, I remember like it's going on my fifth year, right? But seeing you guys were inspiration coming in, you know. And what I've really learned is like not rushing for, I don't want to rush for a headline.
Right.
Hey, I can headline, but I'm not that great. You know, I don't want to do that. You know, I'd rather have a type, be a good, great feature.
Right.
A great opener.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe in 3 or 4 years, go ahead and have the depth to do headlining.
Exactly.
And I respect that now. But in my early years, I was like, you know, we were talking about a comic earlier.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
I'd go through the process, know who I am as a comedian and know my voice.
Exactly. That's the biggest thing is know your voice
and,
you know how to navigate those lanes. Because it was like, I remember at one point, Tibbs was putting me on like all black shows. And I'm like, no wonder they hate me. You know what I mean? It's like some of these people who are in the audience, though, in their mind, they are more hood than what they are. You know what I mean? Which they have 9-to-5 jobs.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're not in the streets, you know.
It's so hard to say no.
You know, it is hard to say no to shows. You know? But it's like once you've had enough of those bad shits, you're just like, you know what? I'm good. I don't need to go do that. But
problem is I keep wanting to say no to these bars. And then then Johnny's like,
I'll pay you this.
You want to go do a bar? No, he's just like, but it's Johnny. I'm like,
let me go hang out.
Time. Yeah. And then I had a great time. And so now I'm going to remember that.
Yeah.
And so next time I get offered a shitty bar by somebody else.
Right.
And Johnny's place is good. It's actually
it is. Yeah.
Cool. I'm going to say yes because I'm going to remember the last time. And I'm going to go there. I'm going to have like two nemesises there. There's going to be no audience. They're going to hate. There'll be popcorn on the floor. I don't know. They'll be like, I'll have this rough time. And they'll be like, why the hell do I do this? I'm like,
hidden bench.
Don't like this.
Hidden Valley Ranch. Yeah.
I don't even like
that. Well, I'll tell you this, right?
Yeah, they're going to have like low shelf.
Yeah.
This is not a funny thing. That place. They had in the description on what you can get for side like dips.
Yeah.
Is like Hidden Valley Ranch. As opposed to just saying
lower
ranch.
Show.
Just saying ranch. Exactly. Which made me go, wait, you have Hidden Valley. What's this shit I'm getting other places? And then I did ask, I was like, can I get some Hidden Valley Ranch with that? And she's like, well, I can get your ranch. I was like, it says Hidden Valley Ranch. I want some top shelf ranch. Okay? None of that ranch.
Right, exactly.
Don't bring me well ranch when you're advertising like the Hidden Valley.
The Hidden Valley, what?
Don't give me that exposed valley.
Exactly,
bullshit.
Right, exactly.
This does not taste like in there. It's the notes are off.
Yeah. You know what, though? Like, there are certain shows that it's like, even if they're trying to pay you, I'm just like, fuck this place. I don't want to, like, first off, I don't want to make the drive.
Sure.
To go sit in, like, front of these people who aren't going to be appreciative.
Yeah.
You know, it's rough, man. But
yeah, so I've pretty much... I mean, I've used my kid as an excuse, but it's a legitimate one. But I'm like, I don't want to go there.
Yeah, seriously.
They email me, but I love when it's a group email because I don't have to worry about responding.
There you go.
Oh, nope, not going to do it because I know where that is.
I got an offer to go down to Olympia for like $50. And I was
no.
Not from Bellevue. I'm not driving.
Are you
to
serious?
Bellevue.
That's like the $50 is like your gas money to go back.
Yeah. And I'm just like, so I'll pretty much net like $20, and I don't know what kind of like experience.
What club was it? I was just curious.
I'll tell you off the air.
Okay, I got you. Oh snap! All right.
And I mean, you know, I'm grateful that they were reaching out. You know what I mean? And it was it was kind, but at the same time, I'm just like, man, I'm good. You know, it's just Olympia's changed a little bit. They have Klan rallies out there.
Oh snap! Yeah, I mean,
I don't know what I'm getting into.
It's just the also it's a drive.
Yeah,
it's just like what
it is.
Sometimes I think like, oh, it's only an hour and a half. Bev's way.
Yeah.
wait, the show's over at what time?
Yeah,
I'm gonna be back at this, and then the next morning, now I'm tired.
Yeah.
Oh man.
And you tell people, oh, I had a show last night in Olympia, so right. I'm tired, running down. They're like, oh, that's so glamorous.
God. Well, let me ask you guys this. Because you used to have your show, and now you have a show.
Yeah.
So what? he has a new room that he's doing.
Yeah.
So what have been your experiences with this new room? How are you liking it? Or is it more complex? Because
is it a black room? What is it?
No, it's actually
just everybody.
Very universal. Yeah. Damn. It's
is it like a lift me up show? Like it's a
no,
super like, positive.
Exactly.
We're gonna bring positivity to comedy.
Exactly. Right.
Exactly. If it's gonna be, it's up to me, you guys. You know, that's our motto here. That's our motto. No, you know, I would say everything is definitely toned though. Like we don't have a lot of comics don't get up there talking about each other. We don't like promote that. We kind of promote it more of a.
Do your material.
Exactly. Yeah. Material. Everyone's more encouraging.
You mean no roast battle type thing?
Exactly. I mean, I was thinking about maybe later on having a roast battle night.
There you go.
Maybe once a month, but.
It's interesting because even at my mic, I usually put certain comics up towards the end.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You got to be. Like, yeah.
You know, if you guys want to stay till the end of this shit and see what's going to happen, then stay. But the comics at the end are always like shitting on each other and like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yo, this motherfucker, da-da-da. And then the next person gets up and they shit on. And it just takes away from the show. And it's like, I get it. It's funny to you four. But it's like the rest of the crowd doesn't know what the fuck you're talking about.
So. I had a comic about a couple weeks ago. He didn't understand that, and he tried to get up and do that, and the crowd was like, we don't laugh at that. And he was like, oh, man. So he had to joke on himself, and it was just so
awkward.
It was tacky. I was like, we don't do that here, man. It's like, it was just so out of.
Is that a thing that's been happening? Like,
some comics do it.
Some comics. There were, there's like four at mine, or maybe five.
What? They just go up and start making fun of each other?
Yeah. So I'll tell you what. So one of them went up and like.
Aren't you there to work on your fucking jokes?
You would think, but I think sometimes they just want to get comfortable on stage and get a laugh from there. Like, some comics are just doing it for comics. Some comics do it for themselves, and then some people try to actually do it for the crowd.
I mean, I have a joke that I only use on Jack Ballard if I go up after him.
Yeah.
I have one joke. Anywhere I go up after him, I use because it's so fucking funny.
Yeah.
But totally.
I mean, but it would make sense in context because now they know who Jack is.
Yeah.
But like when it's the open mic and nobody's gone up before you and you're just shitting on these people.
Yeah.
Only the comics are laughing because the comics know.
Yeah.
But then again, my mic is really only comics and like two people from real life, you know? So it's
but in some ways that's what it'll always be unless people
actually
don't. Yeah. If people are doing that, that keeps it at that.
It's at that level.
Potentially. Cause those two people aren't like, oh, yeah, they just came up and made fun of each other. It was kind of weird.
I actually found a video of one of the craziest open mic experiences we've ever had. So this is probably, I think it was 2012. And this guy is like super nervous. And he's like, yeah, man, can I just go up and say whatever? I was like, yeah, man, it's open mic. You know, just whatever. And, you know, just try not to be racist and you're fine. And so he's like, oh, yeah, no, I'm not going to do any of that. So he gets up there, and it literally turned into like a spoken word thing.
Wow.
And he was like, yeah, because we fucking monsters in here. And then like Quincy yells out. He's like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, baby, we fucking monsters. And he's just going back and forth, just yelling. And he's like, I got big fucking balls because I'm up here. And, da, da, da. And I was like, and nobody's like laughing. And it's just the most awkward shit. But somebody had videotaped it and put it online. And it just like.
Did it go viral?
Or? It sort of went viral within the community, and people were just dying. I was just like, "Hey, man, you should take that down." Like, I want this to be a safe place to try shit.
So, even if it's a little,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have to be funny. I'd like to go to one of these open mics that nobody knows me.
Yeah.
and just do like spoken word. Maybe like not get that it's comedy.
Yeah.
And if like see if they come talk to me after,
right.
Like, hey, you know, so this is like a comedy open mic. And you're like, yeah. So yeah, life's hilarious.
Right. Like, how long has the mic been there?
Ours?
Yeah.
We're going on a year. We're going on a year now.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
It's good. Where is it? It's South Seattle on Othello. It's over in the, okay. You know how they're doing all that building around the train station?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, right,
so
over there. Okay.
Yeah, so we get a good mix of comics.
West Seattle?
No. South Seattle. So this is
Right off of Martin Luther King.
So it's not safe.
Why the fuck is Othello off of Martin Luther King?
Two black characters.
Yeah. Right, exactly. I never thought about that. That's kind of...
Pretty fucked up. Well, we got a black name. We'll just put it over there.
Go ahead and throw both of those guys over there.
It probably has more streets than that. Right. Like, there's like a Harriet Tubman street.
There's no Malcolm X Drive in Linwood.
Is that the street from James Brown Avenue?
I live in Shoreline. I'm going to officially go there and request that we rename one of our major roads Harriet Tubman Way.
Right. Wow. So let me ask you this.
Want them to say no. Why? Right. Why? What's wrong with that? We already got a Fremont neighborhood. Why do we need a Fremont road? Right. Mr. Fremont was white? Is that what's going on?
Let me ask you this. In the year that you've had the mic, have you seen any changes in like the people who show up?
That's what's amazing. Yeah, I mean, there's like definitely like six different comedians I've seen evolve, and they're growing. And and then it's great now. I could actually pass it on and have them host.
Right.
See, that's I'm not there, nice. And like I wasn't there this last week because of some family stuff. I was, you know, I had to hang out with the family, and then and I heard it was still flourishing, which is that's the best, right?
Yeah, that's amazing when you can step away and it still does well.
Yeah, and so it was. Yeah, so that's really cool.
You know, the thing I was wondering was like with Jai Tai, like that place had changed so many different ways, right? Because it started out with all like the regular comics from Seattle and Bellevue, then it kind of made this shift into, I guess, hipster.
Yeah,
and now it's like I really don't know where it is, but that's like. I feel like I could go there and I could just bomb just because nobody would get any of the jokes or it would all be like offensive.
So. Possibly both. Yeah, yeah, it's definitely it's a very woke crowd.
Yeah.
So if you're doing unwoken jokes.
Yeah. Mine are very sleepy.
Yeah.
Woken. Break that down? Could you? I mean, really? I'm like.
So just like, you know. Referring to somebody as, I mean, there's so many different levels of it, right?
Referring
to somebody as like he or she when they want to be referred to as they, or maybe doing jokes about black people or like
if he does a stereotype joke, it's not about him necessarily. You get the audience will be like, oh, that's hilarious, he's making fun of himself. And sometimes it'll be like, oh, that's not cool. Maybe he doesn't understand.
Right.
And I should let him know.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That we don't appreciate.
Definitely. And, you know, there's rooms for everybody, right? Yes. But it's so interesting to see that place change so, like, drastically over time. Even with the roast battles, Jesse Warren said he was there. Mm-hmm. And he was the only, straight person.
Wow.
And he was like. And he addressed it on stage and was like, well, I could tell I'm not going to get any votes tonight. You know what I mean? And, like. He said he didn't, you know, fare so well in that whole thing, and I get it. So
they get
a great turnout.
Local headliners.
Oh, absolutely.
I've even heard some.
Yeah.
Even some like national have combined just dropped in.
Because it's
a known room now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Mike Baskett started it, and now are Rick and Chris still running it? Or
I don't. I think there's other producers there. Okay. So I don't know how much.
Watch that place become like a just a national like.
Well, I mean, it's got. I mean, you look at the location, so you do know that it's got to be a limited time that building can exist. I don't know if it's a historical building or not.
I don't think so.
I don't think it is.
No.
I mean. I don't know who owns it, but you see everything building around it.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, they're going to buy that last, right? Yeah. At some point, it's going to get a price that someone's going to buy this whole building.
Hopefully, someone's saving some money because, I mean.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's even like they saved Showbox from getting torn down, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, But then, honestly, I mean,
but is it historical now, or is it a landmark? Or
well, I think they're trying to. But I mean, I can see that happen. No one's gonna try to save a comedy open mic
or a restaurant. Spot.
Right.
I can see the taco place being a. There's a lot of businesses in that building, right. Potentially lose a lot of businesses. Will get closed if that ever happens. But
wants to build some condos over there, it's over.
Right. Well, condos on the top. Whose rent keeps open here?
Yeah. Well, even
shop,
even right? kind of like, you know, the underground, right?
Yeah.
Like
the underground's closing.
The rumor, is there?
No, it's not a rumor.
Oh, it's actually closing. So I mean,
yes.
That would I wish that we could mark that as a
first. I've heard rumor has it that it's actually end of this year they're going to actually close it. I thought they had another year or two left before they needed to vacate.
Damn. You know, there's a place right across the street that's just vacant. But I'm sure they're going to turn that into condos or something too. It's on the same. So you know,
but is it rebuilt already?
I think it is. It's just a glass. It's like
right. Well, they need tenants probably. Or,
yeah, and I mean, who wants to
clear out the homeless before?
Yeah, but how do you even do that? Is that even possible?
Well, it's possible. They just have. I mean, you put enough police there, it clears out.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, what are you going to do? Just throw them in jail? Is that
no? I mean, they just tell them to move. I mean, that's what Central, Juliana cleaned up Central.
Shit.
Yeah.
I'm starting to notice.
They did put a lot of people in jail, but like, you're seeing tents everywhere. If they decide there's going to be no vagrancy in an area, there's no vagrancy.
Right.
They just have to make that choice.
I've noticed in Bellevue, I've only seen two homeless people out there.
Right. And that's why I'm like, are you telling me, what's it? It's a warm, too cold out there?
Yeah. So,
I mean, obviously there's a choice by the police that are going to do something or. Maybe there's no money to be made and nobody will give handouts in Bellevue like they will
in Seattle.
Seattle.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They're not woke in Bellevue.
Oh, definitely not. Excuse me, colored guy.
Exactly.
Please scoot over. Thank you.
We did actually. I work at Village Theater doing kids' age programs, and we have this, we've instituted a sort of a policy, a program thing where we do, we discuss. We do have gender identity, making sure people feel visible there. Mm-hmm. And so in some of the classes, we did like at the presentations, people had some of the kids do the like, my name is Daniel and I go by his, him pronouns. And introduce you. And I've been at Kids Age for this long. And everybody in one group did it. That was like, 17 people.
Right.
So it was a lot of people. That all said it. One, that's just too long for introductions. Anyway,
right.
I wouldn't do it for that size group. But the people in front of me, it's like, why? The parents were like, why do they keep saying the pronoun thing? Is that because someone's gay?
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to go, well, actually, to them and interrupt their.
Yeah.
I let them think. But they weren't even aware what it is. Like, they thought it was a gay thing. It was like, well, no.
No.
I want to go, well, it's gender identity.
Actually. Yeah.
But I was up in Everett, so they're not very.
Yeah.
See? Yeah, or the parents aren't. They don't understand.
Well, I mean, see, that's the big thing, right? So it's like, you have to give people the opportunity to learn this, right? I mean, it's just like where colored used to be a thing. It's on your birth certificate, right?
Yeah.
Where
Negro is,
right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's so many things that change. You know, people used to say Oriental, right? Clearly, you don't say that now. And
you say crazy rich Asian.
my neighbor does.
Yeah. I mean, there's
my neighbor does. And I tell him, it's Asian.
Yeah.
Asians.
Oh, is that what they're saying?
You
now?
Do. There. I mean, but it's just like it's that older generation. Sure. And I mean, so technically right now we're that generation. Then it's like, oh, it's always been just he, she to us. We didn't know that there were. So we're learning it slowly. And it's just like if anybody is out there, you know, just bashing people, just give us time to adjust. You know what I mean? Like, let us learn. Yeah. You know, it's like it's a learning process. Mm-hmm. So
it's all fluid. If gender is fluid, I think our understanding is fluid as well. And we don't even know where in 20 years we're going to be looking at all this.
True.
You know,
there may be one
provided we're not burned to a crisp from a nuclear holocaust
or global warming
or alien invasion.
Yeah.
The Terminator.
I told you about this guy's theory on aliens. Why? Like they don't deal with us.
What?
They feel like we're too primitive. like they have visited and they're like, oh, they're just too violent. And
we're not woke.
Like,
we're
not his theory.
No, well, I mean, he said like.
No, I'm saying I've seen that in so many TV shows.
Oh, well, anyways. Yeah. And he said that. Well, anyways, with the like whatever his communication was with him, he said that they don't understand why we have nukes. And they're like, why would they try to destroy the world that they live in and all this stuff? But it's crazy, man.
Wait, this guy, was he like a YouTube guy or someone you know?
No, this is a CS or CIA agent who used to work on that Stargate program thing. So apparently they live on the other side of our.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Area 58 or something like that.
Yeah.
So this is something you saw on TV, not a person.
This is a book. And so not only a book, but he's also. I'll show you. Joseph McMonagle.
Are you reading a book?
Yeah, I'm reading a few books.
Audiobook?
No, actually reading.
Reading a book.
Reading a fucking book.
That's impressive.
I know. It's taken me like 3 years to finish it.
I have to check with people because when they say I'm reading a book, like.
And then they're on Audible.
Oh, someone told me.
Yeah.
There's arguments right now whether that's the same or not.
Let me ask you. You believe in aliens?
You know,
the possibility.
I do. Okay, yes, I do.
What about you?
I love how you narrowed. Like you gave him a broad for like, do you believe in aliens? And he's like, Master, like, or possibility, or
okay.
You know, let's get clear. Yeah, okay. I would say I do, but of course, there's we don't have any like yes, last night clear I was evidence. Out, exactly.
I here's my caveat. I believe in them.
Okay,
unless I hear someone else. Explaining why they're real.
Explain that to me.
I believe in a lot of things until I hear someone else saying it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, that fucking sounds crazy.
Okay. Yeah, now, that makes sense.
Like, wait a second.
Right.
Oh, no. Is this what I sound like?
And it's funny because my wife does not believe in aliens whatsoever. Yeah. But I'm just like, do you realize how fucking big the universe is? Do you realize how many galaxies? You realize how many worlds? You don't think they're. Like, I realize how random our chance of being here is, but do you, like...
My scientist stepmother.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a botanist.
Yeah, yeah. But she's scientist, Joe Brainauer.
But it's a different... She does not... She's very liberal, does not believe in aliens at all, because she said the sheer number of... factors that have to be in place for life to exist on a planet is amazing. Like it's such a narrow window. And I mean, they've talked about it in NASA, like when they look at planets, what as far as we know how life can exist,
right?
There's just a real small number of like how far it can be from the sun and stuff.
Right.
It has to be perfect.
Well, my only problem with that is, like, I mean, granted, this is what we know now.
Right.
And for all we know.
Are we privy to, really?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, for all we know. I mean, that's the thing. How many planets have they found already, right? How many galaxies? How expansive is the universe? And you're telling me within one of those, there can't just be one chance of just... Like, they could be as primitive as cavemen on that planet, but I'm not saying they have to have UFOs or they don't have to have...
I've read that we are a new enough planet that if life did exist on another planet, one, it very well may have evolved in the same pattern as us and it destroyed themselves.
Right.
Or two, they are aware of us and don't want anything to do with us.
Oh, I could see that.
Like,
well, that's
makes sense.
Well, that's exactly what guy from the CIA was saying. He was like, they just don't want anything to do with us because they think we're so primitive and so dangerous. It's like, why would we even encounter that? So
he says there's a Stargate.
So not Stargate in the sense of the movie, but the program was Stargate. And basically what they were doing was remote viewing, which is it's where you kind of channel you. It's you know how you daydream, right?
Right.
So. It's like you're awake, but you see different things. So they were actually like pinpointing submarines. This guy found a submarine from Russia off the coast, and it was actually right there.
Using his mind.
Oh. He like went into a deprivation tank and like darkness and just like. And so they were.
Have you done that?
No. Is it freaky?
You want to?
I kind of want to. Should we try it?
I'm scared.
Me too.
But I might.
Yeah. If you do it, I'll do it with you.
Yeah. Have you done it?
I've meditated, but I haven't like. I haven't experienced that. I have friends that have
the saline solution.
That do it. It's like
smell fire.
I know something's burning.
I was like, am I having a stroke or am I smelling
smell toast?
It might be out there. Yeah, but something definitely. Something's, so.
I'm stuffed up, so there could be a fire, and I won't even know.
We're just dying.
My legs on fire.
The last podcast. Two girls from LA came and burned our studio.
Yeah,
down.
Seriously. so anyways. But I do think that
might have got the aliens a little mad.
Yeah,
exactly. So you're an alien believer?
Oh, by far. I just with the sheer number of planets and the sheer number of galaxies, even if they're at our level right now, I think that there's a possibility of it being out there. It's just we don't have the
right
technology to find them.
My understanding too is like I think when they're looking at some of the stuff, you know, like we're seeing
hundreds, remnants.
Yeah, thousands of years ago.
Right.
So I'm always like, well, so right now there could be life there.
Right.
We're not even going to know until they're heading to us.
Exactly.
Oh, shit. That you mean that evolved?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's pretty crazy to think. Like, you know, when they say something's like 50 million light years away, you're seeing right. that basically what it was like 50 million years ago, I guess. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay. I don't want to put it out on the air.
Yeah. Yeah.
So afterwards, remind me to tell you about my movie.
Okay, there you
go. About aliens.
Okay, cool. He also had his mother saw an alien experiment in his house, which was interesting. So I guess one night, they literally, him and his ex-wife were in a room, and I think your mom drove by, and then there was like...
My mother said she woke up, she's like, saw a bunch of flashing light. My mother thinks that her kids have been...
abducted by aliens.
Abducted or have had something over decades. My mother thinks she says she has lost time. You know what? This is what's hilarious. My mother, I told her about, I was talking about the bee like getting stung.
Yeah.
My dad told me about my, I got attacked by a swarm of wasps when I was a kid.
Ooh, shit.
And so, and I was like, well, my fear of bees because of that. My mom's like, that didn't happen. What are you talking about? No.
That's
you
so opened bad.
It and didn't. I'm like, what? I have a specific story that my dad's told for years and years. And so she's like that. And then my mom has these stories about missing time where she was gone for 2 days and everyone was looking for her. And she was like,
she didn't even remember it.
No. Yeah. And I'm like,
wow.
Mom, I don't know who to believe here.
Dude.
You think
that's so funny.
Aliens have caught her. In the sky, in the air. And
my dad
missing 2 days.
My dad swears when he moved up here to Seattle that he was in bed one night and he couldn't move, and this alien came in and like reached into his stomach and like with his finger,
right?
And he just was trying to scream, but he couldn't, and he was paralyzed. And then he woke up, right? He said like the next morning he found a piece of silica in the middle of his like belly button, which was just the
silica,
you know, like really? Those silica packets.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Like, wait, to absorb water?
Yeah, just a piece of silica.
Really?
So weird.
Oh, a piece of it.
Just a piece of
like
it.
A packet.
Not like a packet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. But just a piece of silica.
That would have been funny though.
That would have been funny with the second. I was like, how did he just put it?
Wait. Did you? Was your dad was sober?
Yeah, yeah.
When all this?
Yeah.
Did you tell me about you waking up and being unable to move?
Because of
the thing that happens to it.
So I've had sleep paralysis a few times, right?
Oh, okay.
But this one time, I was I've always been, you know, because I'm a bit of a, I would say a light medium. Like I'm not like one of those like psychics who just, you know, I'll see future events, but I don't know until whatever. But one night, so that, like for a few nights there, like we had this neighbor upstairs who we think was kind of like maybe like a little darker, like as far as like. Just weird energy, right?
Yeah.
So one night, I wake up and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, which is the witching hour. And I'm just like, I go to the bathroom and then I hear this laugh outside. And it's like, and I was like, the fuck was that? Right. And my wife was awake and she just went to the restroom, came back. Yeah. I was like, did you hear that? That was creepy. And she was like, no, I didn't hear shit. Go back to sleep. And she was like really aggressive. I was like, what the fuck?
Whoa.
And so like I grabbed my Bible and I just like turned on the TV. I really did. I was like, I don't want to get killed, right? And she was like, yeah, I remember waking up and just being really mad at you. Like I wanted to hurt you for some reason.
Whoa.
There were two friends of ours. I guess they were traveling somewhere. And one of them woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and couldn't move either. He had sleep paralysis, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other one sat up, looked at him, and went and locked himself in the bathroom, right? And then the next morning, he was like, hey, what the fuck was that all about? It was kind of weird. And he was like, do you remember that happening? He's like, yeah, I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. They were in, like, Peru or something. He was like, I wanted to kill you, which was the weirdest thing, so I went and locked myself in the bathroom. Fucking weird. So, anyways, my story.
Whoa.
I would not be staying with that person the rest of the trip.
Seriously. Like,
what?
Yeah, so my story, basically, I was awakened by something, but I couldn't move, and there's just this big, like, as black as these chairs, just, like, standing at the edge of my bed, right? Yeah. And all of a sudden, like, I don't know what I said, but it was, like, something like, hey, like, I'm, like, a child of God, like, something. And then, like, my body, like, I couldn't see my body, but yes. I saw my essence. It burned, like, white hot as that paper.
Yeah.
And whatever it was just, like, just faded and, like, went away. It was creepy. So, I don't know, man.
But sleep paralysis, that's the thing that happens to everybody, though, right?
I don't know if it happens to everybody, but it's basically you wake up. And you can't move. You know, it's basically like, so if you sleepwalk, you don't have the chemical that, like, paralyzes your body in order.
That's what I just said.
Yeah. So,
but it happens to everybody. Sleep paralysis, right? Where you are.
Well.
So you can't move.
Yeah, you can't move. But sleep paralysis is like where you're, like, awake and you can't move. Okay. Yeah. So that's what I had.
But everyone has.
The chemical
that makes you not be able to
except
move.
For the comic who jumped out the window and has to sleep in the room.
But then people have restless leg syndrome, or they, like, move all the time when they're sleeping.
Right. There's all kind of stuff, man. Like, we're way over. Yeah. But what do you have coming up next?
So what's the name of your show? The name of the show that you
do? The open mic.
Oh, it's We Got Jokes.
Okay.
At Cafe Red.
So it's an open every mic Wednesday. Slash showcase.
Yeah, okay. We try to every week give some time to someone that maybe wants to work out, you know, 15, give me 15 minutes, you know, because you can't get it. You know, you're not going to go some of the other places. I'm not going to, you know, throw them on the bus, but you're not going to go get you know, you're not going to go get like 15 or 10 minutes. Or let's say if you want to come and, you know, work out some stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can come and showcase.
So when are signups and when is the show?
Signups are between 7:30 and 8:15, and we start about 8:20-ish, 8:30.
Okay, and it's on Othello and Martin Luther King.
It is, yes.
Oh. But it's not a black room.
It's not a black idiot.
Hey, what your website for life coaching, if people find out more about you there?
You know, I need to work on that this year.
You can find me.
No, you know what? I stopped.
You need a life coach.
I do, actually. I do.
Well, can they add you on Facebook and look you up?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Find me on Facebook, and that's how people find me usually. And they're like, hey, I need this. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll do that then. You know,
cool.
Is it like, I've heard doctors are like the worst patients to have, you know, and like servers are the worst people to have serve.
Right.
Like,
right.
Are life coaches the worst at their own life? Like,
I would say yes, because we already know, like, a lot, right?
Well,
like, you can't help me. I need to find someone that can help me. Really, I'm like, if they're not really that good, like the guys that I have helped me are, like, me multiplied. Because
I've heard this from a psychologist, a woman who she was like, her and her husband were both counselors.
Yeah.
And I was like, so do you guys fall into the same traps as everyone else? She's like, oh, we're the worst. Because, like, we know what we're supposed to be doing, but we don't do it.
That is, like, the hardest.
Do you feel like, as a life coach, you're like, no, I can tell them to motivate themselves, but I can't do it.
I'm
myself.
Careful about that with myself, though. I am like, I'm like, I know my biggest weakness,
right?
And so I'm like, ooh. So usually, and that's the other thing too, is like, I'll run into a client that I'm working. They're working on something that I'm working on. And I'm like, this sucks. Son of a shoot. You know what I mean? Shut up. And, you know, they're like, you understand. Like, you got to work on that. Okay, wait, hold on. I'm a life coach. You're paying me. You
know, right. No. So is it under Chris Zapata on Facebook?
Yes, on Facebook you can find me. Yes.
You have a Facebook page?
So? Actually, I do. But just friend
just
me.
Just friend.
Just friend me and just find friend me. Him.
And as always, please go like the Black and a Half Facebook page.
Yeah.
And
jump on iTunes.
If you like this episode, please go rate it on iTunes and talk about how much. Tell us what the meaningful thing you heard from Chris Lapata.
Yeah.
Wonderful. All right. Thanks for coming on today.
No, it was fun. Thank you for having me.
All right. Yeah. Black and a Half.
Black and a Half.
Stand by to receive our transmission.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by.
Join us.